Hello, all my beautiful people. It is time once again for another amazing episode of If You Give a Dad a Podcast. So this week I have with me a man who is extremely busy. and we find that out when we talk to him this week. We find out he is a music producer. He is a songwriter. He is a musician. He's a singer. He creates music with his wife even. And he is a father of four. So he is, like I said, a very busy man, and I am very excited to have him on this week. Daniel Martin is an extremely amazing guest, and I'm glad that I was able to have him on this week. We talk about all kinds of things, and he gets to tell some pretty cool stories, find out some things about him that I didn't know, and I'm very excited for you guys to hear it. For those of you who are here just to hear the Daniel Martin episode, welcome. I hope that you enjoy what you hear. And I hope that you stick around and maybe find some other episodes that you like here as well. We've got all kinds of different guests that are on this show, and I have something for everyone. So, if you guys are as excited as I am, then let's get this show on the road.
If You Give a Dad a Podcast.
Hey, Dad.
Get back in your car! Go! Get out of here! You can't be here!
I wasn't about to call you dad, so.
Seriously?
Just for the, you know, the work rate, brother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she said he looked like an old piece of leather.
Oh, wow.
Supernatural, which is by far one of my favorite shows, and I will be talking a lot about Supernatural. I will be quoting Supernatural.
Bro.
I just remember because they also, everybody, whenever they came to the ring, goes,
What? Okay, before I get started, you ever had a design in mind and you wanted to put it on a shirt or a hat or a cup, but you just didn't know who to go to? Well, come on over to R&L Designs, where they make all of your custom needs come true. They make custom hats, they make custom shirts, they make custom mugs, they even do the tumblers and the glass mugs as well. They do key fobs even. They have great prices and they have a reasonable turnaround time. If you need anything custom, these are the people that you need to hit up today. You can find them on Facebook, and that is at R&L Designs. You can also find them on Instagram at R&L Designs19. They have a Facebook page. They have an Instagram page. They update it regularly with new products. You can also message them if you have something in mind. Hit them up today for all of your custom needs. Give them a like. Give them a follow. Alright everybody, so today I have with me a father of four. He is a Southern California-based musical artist. He is an award-winning music producer, songwriter, and musician. He's the founder of Reamp Recording Studios, and now he makes music with his wife and also runs a recording label with her that focuses on putting artists and musicians first. And his name is Daniel Martin. Man, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. I'm glad that I'm able to talk with you tonight.
Definitely, and thanks for making the schedule adjustments. You know, things happen in life, and we got to move stuff around once in a while.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you got to be prepared, you know, and yeah. I'm glad I was able to work that out with you. I know things happen, you know. You got to just kind of go with the flow sometimes when it comes to life.
Definitely, and I'm stoked to be here, so thanks again.
So, you just had an album that just came out in September, on September 23rd. It was called Dear Heart. How was it doing a full-length album?
Well, I've done a lot of full-length albums, but this one's different because it was just me and my wife.
Mm-hmm.
During COVID, we decided, let's make something with purpose. Let's put together an album that kids can enjoy and parents won't hate.
Yes.
Or at least maybe they will enjoy as well. So the whole premise was, let's kind of go with this folky Americana vibe and write songs that actually have stories that are inspired by our own lives from our childhood. So the entire record is kind of about growing up and the things that you'll experience as you grow up.
Right.
And so the writing process was crazy. It was probably about a year, you know, from maybe 2 months into COVID through the end of the year, and then another year of producing it and working on it. And really to us, every single song has meaning. And so putting together a record that had so much weight behind it from a personal standpoint and an emotional standpoint, it was harder to make because it meant so much. But at the end, we're extremely proud of it.
Wow. Well, I didn't realize that it takes that long to produce an album, I guess, a year after you had wrote the songs and everything. And one thing I did notice, it's very high quality. It's one thing that really did love about it is I love the quality of the music. It doesn't sound, what's the word I'm looking for?
Elementary.
Elementary, yes. That's what I was getting at.
Kids music?
Yes.
Pun intended. thanks. And you know what? That's actually been one of the biggest feedback comments we've gotten is like, it's so sonically pleasing. And I'm like, oh, that makes me happy as a producer and mix engineer, because first and foremost, I'm like, it's got to sound great. So I'm happy it does.
So you do all the mixing yourself then?
Yeah. I mean, this record, we brought in my buddy Ryan Straw. He's an amazing guitar player and producer who he actually plays with Kelsey Ballerini now. And
oh, wow.
A couple other big major touring acts. And I told him, I said, I'm too attached to these songs and this record, so I need you to really help us get it going. And so he kind of helped us lay down a foundation and a map of the whole record, like the flow of it. And then he ended up moving to Nashville when we were done with all the tracks. And so from there, I took over and Stephanie and I did the vocals.
Okay.
And then I mixed it all after.
Awesome. And I do have to say, y'all both have amazing voices.
Thanks.
I really enjoyed listening to it. I'm not just saying that. One thing I will say, whenever I have somebody on my show, I take the time to listen to their music, and I have to make sure it's something that I actually enjoy before I bring them on. You know, so I'm not going to have somebody on my show that I can't legitimately say, hey, I enjoy what you do, and I do enjoy the music that you guys produce.
That's awesome. Thanks. Yeah, it's got to be genuine, you know.
It does.
And just like I said to you, it's same with your podcast. It's like you have to enjoy things and really believe in them
right.
to participate in them. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, you're just kind of faking it as you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally understand that. And I'm that way with everything, you know, even with, because I've had different types of people in here. I've had wrestling guests, things like that. I make sure to watch their matches and stuff before I bring them on, you know, because like you said, you do have to have a certain amount of investment, or otherwise it sounds hollow whenever you're talking to that person.
Absolutely. I agree.
So you said that you did the mixing on this and everything, and you had your friend that was helping you with it as well. How much of the music did you actually do yourself? Like, how many different instruments did you play on this album and stuff?
I think on this record, I probably only played guitar and some of the extra, like I did some string arrangements in our small, we did a really dark version of It's a Small World.
I like that though.
Yeah. It's like it was COVID and we were like, the world is a small place, but it's also a scary place sometimes, and kids do need to understand that.
Yeah.
So my thought was, let's make It's a Small World into this minor key kind of haunting vibe. So I added some of that soundscape to that. My buddy Jules Rodriguez, phenomenal drummer out here in Southern California, he laid down all the drums. And then again, Ryan Straw did also a bunch of guitars, and it was kind of just a whole collaborative effort. But I'd say between the three of us, all the music was done.
That's awesome. It's nice when you're able to do that stuff yourself, because you're able to keep it, like, whenever you're creating music, I know I've been raised around music myself. Whenever you're creating music in your head, you have a certain idea, and sometimes it's hard to vocalize what you're actually wanting there. So when you're able to actually play the music yourself, I feel that you're able to bring what you have in your head out a little more.
you know, minus the crippling self-doubt that comes with being a musician and a producer, where, you know, everything you play, you're like, okay,
are they going to like
it? Sounds terrible. And everybody else is like, this sounds amazing. This is the best thing you've ever done. I'm like, okay, I just need to stop. Stop beating myself up for no reason.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. It's very much one of those things where you've got to kind of put yourself aside and just, okay, they do like it, so I'm going to leave it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how is it working with your wife on this music? Is this something newer that you've started doing, is working with her on different projects, correct?
Somewhat. It's kind of been one of those things that we would... She's an actress. She actually graduated from Yale School of Drama, so she is the real deal.
Oh, wow.
I'm the fake it till you make it guy. she'll argue that. She'll say nice things about me. But the reality is we come from two very different backgrounds, mm-hmm. Educationally, which is really interesting. So I didn't go to college, or I went to college for a little bit. And then one of my professors was like, I don't know why you're here. You need to go just work. You're already kind of doing it. You might as well just go do it and make a living versus waste 4 years here and then have to start over. So he really encouraged me. This was at UCLA, and he encouraged me to stop and just go work.
Oh, wow.
And so my wife, being somebody who has a master's in her field, which is acting, mm-hmm. it's two totally different dynamics when it comes to the way we approach a project. Mm-hmm. Hers is very much like, it's just very well thought out. She thinks of all the really small details that I would never think of in a million years. you know, like, she's the one that made me a better songwriter, because I was writing lyrics that I thought sounded cool, but in the end she's like, that doesn't make sense. Listen to what you just said. And yeah. Then I would read it and I'd go, oh, that doesn't make sense. So she really instilled in me all of these like micro creative things that I overlooked for a long time. But as far as our personal projects, like the record, mm-hmm. And this record was a little bit different than the other stuff that we do, which is a YouTube channel called Martin and Rose Music.
Okay.
Which all started because we had, I'm going to roll you back just a hair. Two of my children are from her previous marriage, so they are stepchildren of mine. So when I say we had our first child, it's technically our third.
Okay.
And he was a baby, and we were making little songs on the ukulele and stuff like that to make him smile. And then we just said, you know, why don't we just film this on a green screen and make a little kids YouTube channel for fun? It was really for fun. And the second video we ever did was Days of the Week Adam's Family parody. So it's like, you know, instead of da 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 da, and then with the Adam's Family lyrics, it's like there's Sunday and there's Monday, it's uh-huh. Tuesday and there's, and she was like, this is going to be really great, so just put it out. We put it out. It has 10 million views.
That's awesome.
So that's one of those random things that by chance happened, which really just kind of sparked us wanting to do more. So we've been doing the YouTube channel for like 5 years, but it's very much like on and off. Like when creativity hits, we do it. When it doesn't, we don't worry about it. It's one of those things about being genuine about the art we create, that if we have to force it, it's not a good thing. It's disingenuous. It's not real, and people won't enjoy it. So
right.
Why create it?
Right.
So that's why we've been on and off and on and off, but this is actually our sixth full length record we've done together.
Oh, wow.
And it was only because we were releasing a bunch of, singles via YouTube, like making music videos.
Uh-huh.
And then what we would do is after we had 10 of them released, then we would batch those into an album and put them out on Spotify.
Oh, cool. That's a smart way to do it.
This is the first one. Yeah, this is the first one we actually did with a calculated goal of creating one body of work that was, you know, somewhat of a concept record.
Uh-huh.
So that's really the only difference. But her and I work extremely well together. I'm not gonna say that we don't have arguments. We have plenty of them, but it's because we're extremely passionate about the project.
Yeah.
Which is funny enough, we don't really argue about anything else other than the art we're working on, because we both want it to be right, you know. And
right, right.
But I'm super grateful that we both have very different areas that we excel in. So we're never really stepping on each other's feet. We're just doing the best of what we both do and mashing that together into something that we hope is enjoyed by other people.
That's awesome. And being able to collaborate like that, and it brings a good mix, because I know you also come from two different musical backgrounds as well. From what I saw, she was more of a country type of music, and you were more of like a indie rock type, if I yeah. remember what I read right.
Yeah, it's she was country, and I was definitely more, maybe even harder rock. Like, I used to tour with bands like Korn. We did a show,
really,
arenas with Korn. I wasn't in Korn; we were in the band that opened for Korn. But so it was like that sort of like super hard, heavy stuff. And then she was a country artist, and I met her because she wanted to make a record. Her friend referred her to me as a producer, and yeah. Just kind of hit it off and kept making music, and sure enough, it worked out.
And it's cool because it's almost like a balanced harmony, you know, whenever you can bring both sides of your genres to the table.
Well, now I just write a bunch of country songs. Like, honestly, I'm like, I've written more country songs in the last 3 years than I ever did before.
Yeah. So you said something there that I did not know. What was the name of your band that toured with Korn?
So that band was called Lords of Ruin, and I was kind of a transplant in that band. So I used to make some of their records and help them, you know, record their stuff. And they're all really good friends of mine. And then they had a guitar player who was also a guitar tech for some pretty big bands like Motorhead and Clutch. So he had to be gone a lot to go tour with those bands and do his job. Mm-hmm. So I would get the call to jump in and play guitar on a bunch of shows with them as well. So
wow.
So I got to do some pretty cool things, and I never had to be on the road for like an extended period of time. So the kind of best of both worlds.
Right on, right on. And around what time period was that with Korn? Was that when they were kind of in more of their wilder days?
No, this was probably 2008, so maybe like a couple years after their biggest like hype.
Okay what were they like?
Still doing arenas though, so obviously. Yeah
I've seen them in concert. Actually, the one really cool big concert that I went to, it was them with Breaking Benjamin. Motionless in White was with them, and they weren't even that big yet. And then there was another one called Silver Snakes that was there. It was four of them, and they put on a killer show, and I've always been a big fan. So you kind of hyped me up when you said that. I was like, Korn, really?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a great experience. It was a really cool show. The guys were great. We never really seemed to run into any trouble. I mean, obviously we do stupid things, and we all have a lot too much fun sometimes, but but everybody's really cool, and it's like a family for sure. Like, when you spend that much time with people, other musicians, you really have to love them. Otherwise you're set up for disaster.
Right. No, I get that. So who would you say some of your bigger musical influences are?
You know, it's always really hard, because this is funny, as a music producer, I don't listen to music very often.
Okay.
And everybody says it's super weird, because I should be, you know, like in the know of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, because I'm more afraid that I'm going to copy somebody or do something that's not me. And so I do listen to podcasts, and I listen to talk radio, and I listen to sports. So when I go into the studio and I spend 10 hours in there, all I do is listen to music all day long.
Right.
So sometimes I need a little bit of a departure. But growing up, and the people that I turn to when I do turn on music, is definitely more classic. So I love the Beatles, Paul McCartney. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are another huge inspiration as far as the way I like to write. I would say a lot of there's a lot of similarities between the way I phrase things and the way, you know, like Don Henley would phrase things. So definitely some major inspiration there. So most of it's older stuff, but I still get tidbits of so many really cool things that are coming out now that I kind of get influenced by all of it in some way.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I like, you know, at first I was like, well, that is, you know, it's kind of weird, but that makes sense what you're saying with the not listening, because you you don't want to, because once you get a song in your head or something like that, it kind of gets stuck there in that. So with you not listening to music as much, you probably don't have that much of an issue with kind of like an earworm, I guess you could say.
Probably a reason why a lot of songwriters or a lot of the songs that come out in certain genres sound very similar nowadays is because people are listening before they walk into a songwriting session.
Right.
And it's probably all subconscious. Like there's no way they're not trying to steal from anybody,
right,
but they're borrowing ideas subconsciously because they had been listening to the radio before they went to a songwriting session.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. What would you say is probably your favorite song on the new album that you guys came out with?
Oh, that's a tough one. we've been through this a few times. We talk about it. And we definitely have like our top three. So like Cool As You is one of my favorites from the album.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, there's just something really neat about the perspective of looking at another person or a child who's being bullied and trying to say, I'm like, I could never handle that the way you do. And so it's like a different perspective. You're not telling a story about being bullied or being the bully like we are in our song Bully that's on the record, but we're telling the story rather of looking at another person who is being put in that position and being like, what, admirable of them and how resilient they are. So I thought that that was a really cool perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say my number one is Good Nights Aren't Goodbyes.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
It was just because I was sitting in the studio and this whole the title Good Nights Aren't Goodbyes kind of popped into my head and words just kept pouring out and I was not supposed to be writing. I had a client coming in. I was literally cleaning the studio and the song just kept coming.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there on my phone writing everything I could and I took it home to my wife and she was like, this is so good. Like this has to be on the record. So I just thought it was funny because I know that I've said it. Sometimes people say it as a joke, but instead of saying goodnight, they say goodbye mistakenly.
Right.
And I was like, well, there's something deeper there. There's something so much deeper about saying goodbye than goodnight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of dove into the fears of going to bed as a child. And then as an adult now, putting my kids to bed, them kind of being in the middle of, you know, it's scary with the lights off or the door closed. And so I thought it was a really cool, just concept for a song, and then I love the melodies and it just stuck. It just resonates with me.
Yeah. One thing you say there, growing up, my dad, a lot of times, whenever you'd say goodnight, if you said bye, he'd be like, no, it's goodnight, you know, cause he didn't, this isn't goodbye. I will see you in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? And, so that kind of resonated with me, whenever I saw that song. And one other thing, my mom is a songwriter as well. She's written all kinds of, they do a lot of Southern gospel type of music. And,
very cool.
I remember the first time that she wrote a song, she just asked my dad because my dad, he grew up in country music and stuff like that. And, he actually played for, a band that played at Gillies before it burned down in Texas. And he also was good friends with the guy who they were one of the main bands that played at Gillies and stuff like that. And my dad had written all these songs and stuff. And so when my mom and dad got together, she asked him, she was like, how do you write a song? And he said, you just write from your heart. And the first song that she ever wrote, I think she sat down and it took her maybe about 30 minutes to an hour to write that first song. And whenever it's coming from the heart, you can always tell because, like you said, it flows. And you can't stop it from happening. And I love that side of the artistic side of it because it does come from the heart.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel bad for some of the songwriters that are part of the machine, as we call it, like the major label land, because I did that for a long time. And I was a songwriter for Sony ATV. It's like, this is the biggest music publisher in the world.
Wow.
And when I was signed, it was not about writing songs that I cared about. It was writing as many songs as fast as I could to see which one might hit. You know what I mean? So it's like it took all the emotion out of it. And I'd say I wrote and produced 320 songs my first year as a signed writer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was a song a day, pretty much, or pretty close, minus, you know, the holidays. And we just spent every day in the studio and working on songs, and I'd produce them and send off tapes. And oh, my God, it was the rat race for sure. It was terrible. So after I left the label or the publisher, I literally didn't write a song for over a year because I was just like fried.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I bet you were burnt out by the time that was over. And that's a lot of songs to write in a year.
I don't know how many good ones were in there, but there was something. I mean, we had some cool things pop, and but I don't know. It's just, it wasn't for me. So like, I agree, like with what you're saying about your parents, like you write something that you care about. It's one, a lot easier. And then two, it's just, it's something you can stand behind when you're done with it and go, I don't care if you don't like it, 'cause I love it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's hard to come by these days.
Yeah. So how is it trying to balance doing all of this with being, like I said at the beginning, you're a father of four. So how is it trying to keep that balance?
Oh, it's chaos. So my wife likes to decide to include them in everything. And I'm like, you understand, you just made my job 10 times harder by including them. It's one thing keeping them quiet. Uh-huh. And it's another thing saying, I need you to sing this line this way.
Yeah.
And then it's always hilarious. Don't get me wrong. It's super fun. And it's, but at the same time, when we're already dealing with maybe some timelines we want to stick to and milestones that we're trying to reach, I'm like, we just need to get this done. And now you want to add the kids singing in it? She's like, yeah, I think that would be better. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. My six-year-old Nixon is a little version of me. We just did a Halloween song called Haunted House Rock. So it's like a parody of Jailhouse Rock by Elvis. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, all you got to do is she says, you know, Jailhouse Rock, and you repeat it, Jailhouse Rock, Jailhouse Rock, Jailhouse Rock. Uh-huh. And he goes, no, or Haunted House Rock. And he goes, no, Dad, it's only two. There should only be two repeats. And I'm like, what are you doing? Are you the one producing this record now? And then he sang it. And I was like, you're actually right. It should only be two. And so he puts on his producer cap and tries to tell me all the ideas he has. So clearly something we're doing is rubbing off. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We'll find out later. But and then my 4-year-old, his name is Nashville. He's just super hilarious, but he's only four. So, you know, he gets some of the more cute ad lib parts that are very easy for him to do.
Right.
And then on our record, my 13-year-old Nico sang the whole song Cars. Mm-hmm. And my daughter Natalie, who's 15, sang all the harmonies on Cars with him. So,
okay.
The balance is just including them instead of trying to separate them, because when you try to separate them, you're going to get more frustrated by trying to keep somebody at bay while you're trying to do something that requires a quiet space. But I don't know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, that's for sure. I like working here in the house with the kids more than I like going to the studio where it's controlled.
I can see that. I being able to do it in your own home, you have that comfort and everything. And if you want to do music with your kids and family, they're right down the hall, you know?
definitely. So we call them in. I'm like, here, hit this tambourine real quick. And then they love it. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's same with me. You know, there's been a few episodes where I've either had my kids come on and talk about when we went to Comic-Con, or, you know, I have them do the opener where they're like, hi, you're listening to If You Give a Dad a podcast, you know? And all I got to do is be like, hey, come here for a minute. And they come out here, they get on the microphone, they record it, they love doing that. They feel like, you know, they're being a part of something really cool. So it's fun. Yeah, I definitely get that.
I imagine that's all your kids in that intro sequence of the podcast.
It is, yes. And
yeah, it's funny.
My son now, he cringes at that every time. He's like, no, I don't want to hear that anymore. But at first, you know, he loved it. But
absolutely. It's
That was almost a year ago.
But then they hear about how long has it been? I was going to say, how long has it been? Because then they start to go, oh no, that was me a year ago.
Right.
And well, I have my dog sitting here next to me is starting to whine right now. We put our dogs on the record, by the way. The song Big Dog, the actual howling is both of my dogs.
That's great. I love that.
So to add even more chaos to the entire situation, we make dogs sing.
That's cool. I should try that. We always make jokes that if I let one of, we have two dogs, and if I were to let Aria on the show, that she would take over. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's already trying to take over this call right here. She sits next to me and starts growling like, hey, aren't you paying attention to me?
That's but great.
We started by singing Happy Birthday, and that's though how she learned how to actually howl in like a singing tone. And it worked. So we could only get her to bark for the longest time, but we needed it to be a howl so I could like pitch correct it and turn it into a musical part.
Uh-huh.
And finally, through singing Happy Birthday like 400 times, she learned how to sing.
That's great.
So you can teach a dog to sing. Little did you know.
Well, my dog says mom in the mornings. We have two. We have a English pointer and a Rottweiler, and the English pointer will go to my wife's side of the bed in the mornings whenever after our alarm goes off, and she's like, mom. So,
no way.
Yeah, every That's morning. So,
it's kind of creepy. It's kind of creepy, but it's also really cool at the same time. So, it's creepy because it's like they know your rules. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, how do they know mom?
Yeah, well, but, you know.
And then creepy because they say it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they know because whenever, you know, is mama coming home? You know, they know that and everything. So,
sure.
But, you know, I don't know if they're putting two and two together. But they do say, okay, so my English pointer is, she's English pointer and border collie mix. And I know they say that border collies are some of the smart, like really smart dogs and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I don't know if there's some kind of crossover there or what, you know, but they're good dogs. Yeah, there's got to be something.
There's got to be something.
Yeah. So what do you like to do for fun? Like what kind of hobbies do you have outside of your music?
Well, that's tricky because I don't have a lot of time to myself, as you could probably imagine.
Yes.
So everything I do is this big family gathering of sorts.
Uh-huh.
I love to travel, and whenever we can, wherever we can, we're going to take advantage and do it. So we just got back from Zion National Park in Utah.
Okay.
That was amazing. We are actually in the process of buying a fifth wheel, and we would like to travel all over the country writing songs and recording them in our fifth wheel. Maybe our next record will be about being on the road or songs from the wild, maybe record some of them outside. I don't know.
Okay.
But we're willing to sell our house and just live on the road for a year and see what happens.
That actually sounds pretty fun.
Fingers crossed we sell our house. Yeah, maybe challenging. I mean, it sounds fun in on paper, and then you get out on the road and who knows what's going to happen, but I think we're willing to give it a go and see what happens.
Yeah. Now, is the market booming in Southern California for housing the way it is here?
No, it's horrible.
Is it
horrible
really
right now? Our house was up for 100 days. We took it off the market, and then we're going to try again in the new year. Uh-huh. But it's just because of, I mean, obviously everything in the economy and whatnot, we kind of knew what was happening.
Right.
And so our timing was just not great.
I get that.
Which is okay. We're not in a huge hurry to like pack up and leave, but
right.
At the same time, it would have been nice if we did in you know, a month or so ago, then we would have already been on the road right now.
Yeah.
But my wife is a director of theater here in Southern California, and she loves her job. So we're trying to figure out a way to make it kind of work with her show schedule, and so we can go away for like a month and then come back for a month.
Okay.
So we'll see. And everything happens for a reason. So maybe it didn't sell because it wasn't supposed to. So
right.
We'll go with that. But traveling is huge. I have a new fondness for camping, and I never liked it ever before. But now I'm like all about tent camping and like doing the whole thing.
Okay.
And the kids like it too. I think that they're still a little used to having a nice, comfortable bed and a bathroom, but
right.
I think they'll warm up to the idea.
They're still on the stage of glamping, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we set up the tent in the backyard 2 weeks ago, and it was hilarious because I was like, all right, we've been too busy to go anywhere, so let's just set up the tent in the backyard and do a movie night out there and just kind of be outside.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, like the temperature drops to something that we consider to be ungodly, which is like 58 degrees. and so that's really cold for us.
Yeah.
And my wife couldn't even handle it. She, in the middle of the night, she's like, I'm going inside. It's too cold. The boys were asleep. I was asleep. But about a half mile away from our house is the loudest mariachi band party that ever could have taken place on the worst night possible.
Oh, no.
And then they would play for like 10 minutes and then they would stop. So I'm like, oh, they're done now. And then I'd fall back asleep. Then they'd start up again and I'd be right back awake. So unfortunately, our backyard tent camping got called at around 1:30 in the morning when the band was still playing.
And oh, no.
None of us could sleep.
Wow. Yeah. So,
disaster.
At least you'll have the story out of it now, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we definitely have a story. It was a major failure, but it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And then I would say finally, baseball. Baseball is my second love. Music and baseball are like, that is life.
Okay. You got a favorite team?
So, oh, yeah, I'm wearing my Angels hat right now, even though they're one of the worst teams in baseball currently, but that's okay. Once you're a fan, you can't just switch in the middle of it. I grew up in Orange County, so I grew up in Anaheim.
Okay.
And so obviously growing up 5 minutes away from the stadium, that was my team. And yeah. I watched them go through the worst, the 90s, which was horrible. Mm-hmm. Then they won a World Series, and then now they're horrible again. So I just kind of have to, you know, hang out and roll with it.
I get that. It's funny that you said you're wearing your Angels hat right now.
Yep.
I'm wearing a St. Louis Cardinals hat right now. So see,
you get it.
That's my team. And it's funny because, you know, we both got to experience having Albert Pujols on the team.
I know, but we did him so dirty. It was awful. We were all mad the way the organization treated that man. So, but I'm also happy that he got to go back to the Cardinals and finish his career there. So,
me too.
That was awesome.
He got a really cool send off, I think. So I was really happy with that.
Oh yeah.
And I'll always remember.
Wasn't his last at bat a home run? I think his last at bat was a home run, or I think his last at bat was a home run, or the one before the last at bat. One of them.
Yeah, I believe it was his last at bat was a home run. It was really cool. You know, I'll always be happy with having him on the team. I'll be grateful for it because the two World Series that I remember the most, he was on the team. And that was 2006 and 2011. And my son was born in 2011. So the year he was born, the Cardinals won the World Series. So I was like, oh, this is a good sign, you know?
Magic.
Yes, just exactly. Magic. Yep.
How far are you from St. Louis?
I'm probably six hours or better from it. But my grandpa was a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan. He would be one that would, you know, huge baseball fan all around. He would have the radio going and the TV going at the same time, listening to one game and watching another game on the TV, and never went anywhere without his St. Louis hat. And I remembered that, you know, watching games with him. And so it just kind of, you know, that was his team. So it was my team, you know?
Yep.
So
same here. Absolutely.
Yep.
I wear my hat everywhere, and I have all the like random Angels hats. Like I don't even have like a traditional one like that they wear. So like now I'm wearing like this. It's like the baby A version of it. So it's the lowercase A.
Oh, okay.
I get compliments on my Angels hats all the time because I never have like the normal one. So
I'm kind of.
If they could win the World Series, that would be nice.
That'd be cool. That would be really cool. I actually kind of followed the Angels a little bit whenever Albert went to the team. Just because I was such a big fan of him. But I'm the same way when it comes to hats. The one I'm wearing right now is like the blacked out one where it's black with the black embroidery on there as well. You know, and I love those. They're a lot of fun. So just go to Lids and pick one up.
Yep. Some people are shoe people. I'm a hat person for sure.
Yeah. Hats. And then my wife also makes fun of me because I have a ton of socks. I love going and getting new socks all the time. So
that's hilarious.
So do you have any goals for the near future that you have set for your music?
You know, it's really hard going into the holidays because you kind of settle and you kind of reassess. And I think that's where I'm at right now is I don't have any goals. And I think that that's a good thing right now. I just, sometimes when I create goals, I create too many, or I create things that are unattainable, and I know they're unattainable. But so I usually take the end of the year to kind of like reassess and go, well, how can I make those unattainable goals attainable?
Yeah.
And it's baby steps. You know, you have to do A through Z. You can't skip letters along the way. You can't jump from A to Z. And a lot of the times I have really good ideas, and unfortunately I do take really big steps and try to get there, and then go, oh no, it didn't work. It's because I didn't go in some sort of calculated order. Might be a little bit of ADHD or something, I'm not sure, but I can never go in order with things. So I'm either doing too many things or bouncing all over the place. But all I know is that music is just part of who I am and what I do, so obviously it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just always kind of listening for new people to work with. And, you know, I've worked with people all over the world, so it's really great that I'm not so limited just to my backyard.
Right.
I can collaborate with people anywhere that they are. And so right now for me, it's just about, this is my time to listen to music more than it is for me to make music.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. You've got to have that time to kind of recalibrate.
Yeah. We do have a Christmas EP, a really mini Christmas EP for Martin and Rose Music coming out December 2nd, and that's got, it's just a couple traditional like Jingle Bells, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and a song. Okay, this is going to be weird, so bear with me.
Okay.
My wife swore up and down that there was a song called Pablo the Reindeer, and I told her she was crazy. I had never heard of Pablo the Reindeer. I looked up on YouTube Pablo the Reindeer, Spotify. Nobody had Pablo the Reindeer.
Okay.
And her mom, who used to be a music teacher for elementary school, was like, no, Pablo the Reindeer, that's a real song. And I said, sing it to me. And so they sing this song, and I'm like, I think that you guys just made this song up. There's no way this is a real song. This is hilarious. It's about how when Santa goes to Mexico, he doesn't speak Spanish, so he needs his reindeer Pablo to help navigate him through Mexico. And I was like, it's a brilliant story.
Yeah.
I was like, it's hilarious. And I said, it's like Rudolph, but it's not. And
right.
I was like, but I think you guys made it up. And sure enough, I found a version of it deep in the world of YouTube. And it was sung by a kid's choir. So I'm like, this must be something that they do in like an elementary school choir program.
Uh-huh.
But nobody's ever made like a recording of it, like a, you know, a high fidelity version of it.
Right.
And so sure enough, on our 3-song mini Christmas EP, Pablo the Reindeer is on there.
I can't wait to hear it.
It's like it's like Tex-Mex. So it's like a country, like, you know, it's a Spanish country from there's no really no way to describe it. You're just gonna have to listen to it.
Okay.
Well, but Pablo the Reindeer is it's a real song. And so it is what it is. It made the cut.
I'm very excited to hear it. Here in our house, we do all kinds of Christmas music. In fact, so we put up our Christmas trees over the weekend. And I don't know.
Oh, you're already there. You're already at that point.
Oh, so this is late for us. Usually my wife has the Christmas trees up the first weekend in September.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
That is a very long time. But so we're actually very late getting it up this year, with everything that's been going on, because we've had COVID in the house, and we've had doing different. My wife does like t-shirts and stuff like that, and so we've been setting up at different festivals and things like that. So we've been very busy, and we haven't had time. At our weekends have pretty much been us going to these different things as vendors. So we finally had the time, got the house the way we wanted it, cleaned and all that stuff to get the trees put up. Well, as we were putting up the trees this past weekend, my wife found something she had never heard of. I knew about it for a very long time, but it's hip-hop Christmas music.
I've never heard hip-hop Christmas music in my life.
It was, what is the name of the band that that she played first? And I had heard the song. I was like, yeah, I've heard this plenty of times. She's like, I had no idea. It was, now I can't even think of it. I actually posted something about it on Twitter because I thought it was hilarious that she was even saying this. Let's see here.
I was like, now I gotta know.
So it was Run DMC. They have like two songs that they came out with that were Christmas songs. And so I was like, yeah. So we played those, and it led into a rabbit hole to where our Echo Dot was like, oh, well, here, listen to this. And it's hip-hop holiday classics. And it's a whole playlist, songs I never knew existed. And I knew about maybe four of them, but most of them was like, I had no idea. So it was great.
Oh, that's happening. That is happening this year for us, for sure.
Yes. Well, I will tell you this. There are some of them not kid-friendly at all. So, there were some of them we had to skip because it was like, oh, that ain't going to work with the kids here.
Yep. Usually we don't realize which ones those are until it's already too late. Then we go, okay, next time. Don't let that one play.
Yeah. Or, you know, they're like, Dad, what does that mean? Never mind. You don't need to know.
No.
So, yeah.
Nope. Well, that's crazy that you guys go that long, because I already thought we did what I considered to be a long Christmas season, which was from Thanksgiving through. But we also, my wife's family is Serbian Orthodox, so their calendars are different than ours.
Okay.
And that's the oldest religion. I believe it's the oldest religion. And so they have their own calendar.
Uh-huh.
And they actually do Christmas on, I'm going to get this right, I believe it's January 9th.
Oh, wow.
Christmas Day in the Serbian Orthodox faith.
Okay.
And they also have 2 days before that it's called Slava. And it's like, it's about the saint that your family, that is associated with your family name. So mm-hmm. it's like a day to recognize the saint that your family's name comes from, or that you, I'm just butchering what it's about, but something about the saint, and then Christmas is 2 days later.
Okay.
And so we actually are usually set up from Thanksgiving all the way through the second week of January.
Okay. That's
pretty long for me.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that. I've actually never heard of the Serbian Orthodox before. So that's something new. Wow.
We just keep it going, and then we do have another New Year's a week after as well, because the calendar is different for that. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's just a party from, you know, Christmas week all the way through the middle of January. We are going hard.
Heck yeah, man.
That's not like, let's just extend the holiday break as long as we can. So like our real like beginning of the year for us is like the end of January. That's when we start getting motivated.
Wow.
So it's a nice hibernation that we're about to go through.
Yeah. So before I get you off of here, is there anything that maybe you want to tell your fans?
Well, definitely thanks, because it's been a wild run this year. We went from a very modest couple thousand listeners a month on Spotify to now almost 500,000 monthly Spotify listeners in 1 year.
Yeah.
So we're extremely grateful. We don't know where you are or who's listening, but we're just happy that the music that we create is finding these little ears and the parents are latching on to it. And they see some sort of goodness in what we're doing. You know, there's no messages, there's no politics involved in our music. It is literally just fun and enjoyable, and we just want it to be a healthy listening experience for those kids and their families. So we're really trying hard to just go right down the middle and make stuff that we just enjoy. And it's really amazing to see people gravitate towards it every single day. So that's been very exciting. But more so, just for everybody out there, just keep encouraging the creation of independent music, because it's so unbelievably hard. The artists that you know, the songwriters you know, the producers you know, the bands that you know, are in a fight that you will never understand, because having so much passion to keep getting beat up by this industry and then prevailing and keep going and going and going every day, it's commendable at least. So go follow them, go like their social pages, buy their merchandise, do everything you can to support independent music, because I tell you that every year it gets harder and harder, and I think there's less and less people really making it.
Yeah. Well, and I did want to tell you congratulations on the amount of listeners that you do have. I did look into that, and you guys are killing it, and that's awesome.
Yeah, we're extremely blessed, very fortunate, and we're just going to keep doing it, whether you guys listen or not. So hopefully you do just keep listening, because it's a little bit more fun that way.
For sure. So if people want to follow you guys and continue to see what you guys are creating, how can they do that?
Well, we're going to try to focus on our Instagram a little bit, put more content on there. So that's just Instagram, and it's at Martin Enrose Music. Our YouTube channel is just youtube.com/Martin Enrose. And then our website is martinandrosemusic.com, which kind of has a little bit of sampler from everything we've done on our records to our most popular YouTube videos all in one spot, and a little bit about us and our mission statement to just make cool music for cool kids.
Awesome. Well, man, it has been great having you on the show. I have thoroughly enjoyed talking with you, and I cannot wait to hear your Christmas music and hear what else you got coming up.
Yeah, it's called Little Bit of Christmas. Comes out on December 2nd. So, you know, I'm going to send it to you beforehand, because you're already in Christmas spirit right now. So you guys got to get it going through your house.
Yes, I can't wait to hear it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me, man. It's been a blast.
It has been wonderful. I will talk to you later, man.
All right, take care.
All right. So as a special treat, they actually are going to let me play one of their songs off of their new album, Dear Heart, which you can find on Spotify in different places. The song I'm going to play for you is probably one of my favorites, and we actually talked about it in the interview, and that is Good Nights Aren't Goodbyes.
That I'd like you to sing me a song before bed. I could listen to records, but I love it from your voice instead. I'll sleep through the night with a sound peace of mind if you sing me a song for bed. I know that I want you to lay in the dark next to me. You don't have to stay, just don't go until I'm fast asleep. I'm closing my eyes and I promise I'll try. You lay in the dark next to me. And I'll come and say hi when the sun starts to rise. You told me you'll be there for sure. And good thing, good night, son, are really goodbyes, like I used to believe that they were. the door and check under the bed and tell me that you love me once more. I won't stay awake if you tell me you'll give me a kiss before you close the door. And I'll come and say hi when the sun starts to rise. You told me you'll be there for sure. And good thing, good night, son, are really goodbyes, like I used to believe that they were.
Lisa.
And I'm Dawn.
And if you've ever watched a TV show and thought to yourself, oh my god, that season finale plot twist was absolutely bonkers.
Or seen a movie and thought, wow, I need to talk to somebody about this train wreck immediately.
Then we think you'll fit right in with our podcast, I Hate It, Let's Watch It. We watch TV shows like Riverdale and Emily in Paris.
And movies like Deep Water, Killer Sofa, Rubber, and Deadly Illusions. And we give them the total rinsing they deserve.
It's basically group therapy for movie masochists. So come check us out wherever you stream podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Brian Ferguson. If you're listening to this, then I know you are enjoying the Bumps and Thumbs podcast. In order to continue to run the podcast and get guests on the show, we need support from people like you. Please go to anchor.fm/Brian, B-R-I-A-N, dash Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N, the number 3, and click on the support button. Once you are there, you'll have options to select from to make a monthly contribution. Your support will help us get on wrestling stars that require financial compensation. Again, that's anchor.fm/Brian, B-R-I-A-N, dash Ferguson, F-E-R-G-U-S-O-N, the number 3, and click on the support button. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support, and enjoy the podcast.
So, my name is Matthew Terry. I have a podcast. It comes out every Friday on Spotify, iTunes, most places you can find podcasts. The podcast is It's Time to Fight. It's a wrestling podcast. Now, I see that sour look on your face, but this podcast is different than other wrestling podcasts. It's the highbrow of wrestling podcasts, if you will. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you're looking for a podcast that digs up dirt on people, this is not your podcast. If you're looking for a podcast that tries to nurture controversy to secure clicks, this is not your podcast. My podcast does not sound like a bunch of guys and girls sitting in their basement, hooting and hollering, every second word being an expletive, telling dirty stories, gossiping about the world of wrestling, or pretending that I know more than what I really do. I talk to my guests about things that other podcasts don't talk about, and I take great pride in doing that. Now, in case you're wondering, am I trying to say that my podcast is too good for some people? Not at all. I would never suggest anyone is not good enough to listen to my show. I'm just giving you a heads up. See you Friday.
All right, folks, I hope that you enjoyed that episode with Daniel Martin. He was a lot of fun to talk with. I really enjoyed being able to sit down and just have a conversation with him. I can't wait to see where things go with them in the future. I legitimately do enjoy the music that they produce, and you guys should go out there and listen to it. Play it for your kids. For those of you that do have kids, play it for them. It's good, wholesome music that I believe that everybody can enjoy. And I look forward to seeing where they go in the future and seeing what they come up with next. Like they said, they've got some Christmas music that they're coming out with. I have listened to it, and it is very enjoyable. I think you guys will listen to it and enjoy it with the Christmas season coming up. I've got some really cool episodes that are coming up here soon. Next week I have with me the Iceman, Howard Moritz. We've been trying to get this worked out to where he can be on the show for a minute now. We've had to reschedule twice, so it is really awesome that I'm able to get this worked out to where he will be on the show. The week following that, I will have Duke Cornell. You've heard me talk about him. He's a very talented wrestler that I've got to see a couple times, and I can't wait to talk with him and see what he has to say. And the week following that, I have the metalcore band Reverse on, and that's spelled R-V-R-S. They are really awesome. I love what they play. I love their music, and I'm glad that I was able to find them and get them to come on the show, so it should be a lot of fun. The week following that, I have a man that I am very excited to talk with, and that is Alex Royal. He is a Oklahoma-based wrestler that should be really entertaining to have on the show. I know he's had some good matches with Justin Lee, and you guys have heard me talk about Justin Lee quite a bit. So those are some pretty cool episodes that I have coming up that I can't wait for you guys to hear. As I'm recording this, there is something that I found out today. It is Sunday, November 20th of 2022, and I found out that one of my long-time heroes passed away yesterday, and that is Jason David Frank. He was the Green Power Ranger and the White Power Ranger, and he was the Red Power Ranger in the Zeo series and part of the Turbo series, but he was what I consider to be one of my first heroes as a kid. Growing up, the first TV show that I ever really got into was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and I thought he was just the coolest person ever. And when I heard that he had passed away, I didn't feel that it was possible, because he was one of those that he just seemed too big to die. He seemed like one of those that couldn't be touched, you know. So it hit really hard, and so I just want to say thank you for all the memories, Jason David Frank, that you gave me for being that childhood hero that I could look up to, and you will be missed. Rest in peace, JDF, also known as the character Tommy Oliver. I've seen lots and lots of people this afternoon and this morning posting memories about him, and he was a very stand-up guy, always down to talk to a fan. He loved his fans. I've seen videos of him where he would be sick and still come out there and talk with them. So yeah, he is going to be missed tremendously.
All right, it's Morphin time!
If you guys want to find me online, if you want to follow me online, you can do so by going to Facebook. You can also find me on Instagram and on Twitter. My Facebook is at IYGADAP. It's the acronym for If You Give a Dad a Podcast. You can also just type in If You Give a Dad a Podcast and find me on there. You can follow me on Instagram, and that's at Give a Dad a Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter, and that's at DadPodcast11. I update those regularly. I post stuff on there asking you guys questions, you know, for the show, because I really do want to know what you guys want to hear. So, you know, I try to interact with you guys as much as I can on my social media pages. So go and follow me on there. If anything special is coming up, I will probably announce it there first. So, yeah, go and follow me. If you guys want to send me an email to tell me how you like the show, or if there's something you want to ask me, or if there's something that you're wanting me to talk about, just send me a line on my Gmail account, and that's at giveadatapodcast@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you guys. I love talking with you and knowing what you guys want. Without you guys, I wouldn't have a show. So I am very appreciative of everybody. And if you're listening to this episode right now and you like it, go out and rate it and review it. Just go up to the top if you're on Spotify and give me a rating. It's a 1 through 5 star rating that you can give. You can also, if you're listening on iTunes, then you can go give me a rating on there of 1 to 5 stars and write in a comment if you want to. If you're listening on Podbean, because I know that I have a lot of people who listen to my show on Podbean, you can just like it on there and you can leave me a comment and tell me what you think of this episode. I'm very excited to see what happens in the future with the show. I have people that listen all over the place. I was going through looking the other day, and I've got people literally all around the world who have listened to the show, and it just blows me away, the amount of listeners that I get from all over the place. I do see you, and I hope that you enjoy what you hear on my show, and I hope that I'm bringing you the content that you want to hear. Like I said, I can't wait to bring you guys more content. I can't wait to bring you guys more of these episodes. Oh, also, merch is coming, I promise. I just talked to the guy the other day. We're putting on the final touches, and we will get the stuff out there, and I will get the website to you to be able to get t-shirts and things like that here very soon. So just hold tight. It is almost here. I love you guys. I hope you have a wonderful week. And I will see you next time. Bye. If you enjoyed our show, come back next week. Come on, guys. You know you want to come back. Might get some laughs.
This podcast is part of the OIW Podcasting Network.